6. We started with a little chazara, and then we got to the first issue we discussed was where we left off last time, the relationship in our sugi between shliach kabbalah and shliach lahulacha. Rashi very clearly equates shliach lahulacha and shliach kabbalah in terms of the eved issue. Rashi's lashon even on the top of him is she'ein chiluk tam b'nehem. There's no logical difference between the qualification of an eved to be shliach lahulacha, shliach kabbalah. But the Ramban explains, right, that creates a basic problem in the maskan of the sugya, because Rabbi Yochanan paskins an eved as pasul, because ain't no b'tarz get the kiddushin. Yet Rabbi Ami is a dike for the Mishnah, the pasul the guy, you see the diuk is that an eved's kosher. So for that reason, the Ramban and the other Rishonim bring down, starting from the Masorah from the Rimigash, that lemaskana, there's a difference between holacha and kabbalah, an eved is kosher for shlichus laholacha, but he's pasul for shlichus le kabbalah. The way the Ramban happens to read the Gemara is a little funny, because then why did Rabbi Ami at the beginning say he's kosher for Kabbalah because I'm a dyke for the mission that he's kosher l'holacha? Clearly, in the beginning of the sugya, Rabbi Ami equated Kabbalah and holacha. Machlokes Rishonim is just at the end of the sugya, what do we say? So Ramban says, in the beginning, Rabbi Ami thought they were just asking if an eved could be a shliach. Not anything special about get, which is a little funny, because then why did they ask about get? Why didn't they just ask a shliach of the Alma? So that's a bit dochuk in the Ramban. But one thing very clear, Rabbi Ami first says, can eved be shliach l'kabbalah? And says, well, I'm a dyke for the mission, he could be a shliach l'holacha, so he can't be shliach l'kabbalah, equating them. Rashi thinks that equation is mochrach. Halach and Kabbalah is the same. Well, the Ramban, the Rimigash is different. The Rimigash himself says, I know it's different. But what's the difference? Not sure. So the Ramban explains that shlichus of the halacha is a regular shlichus of Kol Torah Kula, so why can't they never do it? Well, shlichus of the Kabbalah is a special git and dik kind of thing, because as soon as the shlichus of the Kabbalah receives the get, even though it hasn't gotten to the woman, she's divorced. And therefore, since the special gittin dicka kind of thing, the eved's pasul because he's not ainu b'toras gittin ve kiddushin. What does this Ramban mean? It's not just a matter of what time things happen. That's also called our kula rule. If you're representing one side of the transaction, or you're representing the other side of the transaction, so l'chori means what we left off with last time, which is that now we said a lot of different formulations. I think they're all going basically in the same direction. That shlichus laholacha is a regular shlichus because he's actually doing something on behalf of the husband, just like a regular shliach does something on your behalf, and because you're giving him over authority and power to do something, just like a regular shliach, you give over the authority and power to do something. Especially the Rav had this idea that the shliach laholacha is called the baal haget, with all of the sort of brisker resonance of that term. So clearly you're giving him over the status of the Baal HaShtar. Maybe we'll come back to that. L'maisa, shlichus l'halacha is a regular Kol Torah Kula kind of shlichus. What is shlichus l'kabbalah? Shlichus l'kabbalah is different because you're not actually doing anything. Shlichus l'kabbalah doesn't do anything. Shlichus l'kabbalah is passive. Why does shlichus l'kabbalah work? He's not even doing anything. He's clearly not acting on behalf of the Baal. He's clearly not receiving any power or authority. The shlich l'kabbalah is just passively like the bailam. It's just passively the equivalent of the woman, or, I think there were two different formulations here, either he just is the woman, or is an extension of the woman, like physically part of her rishus. But the point is that when he's actually doing something, shlich l'olach is actually doing something, being entrusted with the power to do a job, that's a kol Torah Kula. You don't have to be b'toras. But when the shlich l'kabbalah is not doing anything, he's totally passive. It's just that his zehut, his identity has been changed. It's not that his actions, you take credit for his actions. That's kol Torah Kula. It's that the shlich l'kabbalah's identity has been changed to be like the woman, or like part of the woman's domain. So if so, that identity change can only work if he's shayach to have such an identity. If he's shayach, the Torah's getting the kiddushin, but not for an eved. So that's what the Ramban means. This is a special kind of identity change, that he just becomes part of the woman's rishos, or becomes like the woman. And for that, he has to be b'toras. Theoretically, one could have said, although we have no makor for this,
the exact opposite, of course. Right? Theoretically, we could have said the opposite. No, an Eved could be a Shlech LaKabbalah and not a Shlech LaHalacha. Because all a Shlech LaHalacha does is pass and receive something. Shlech LaHalacha actually does a Gerushin. But nonetheless, in the Sugya, there's no basis for saying that. So that's the first thing we discussed. The second thing we discussed was, yes?
The Rav already addressed how, there's a question, Marl and Control, which is also an Isis, so you need to be Bidoris.
The Gemara's question, The Gemara's question was not on this point. The Gemara's question from Truma was on the other the diuk from this point. The Gemara's question from Truma wasn't on the principle of Inga B'Torah is getting Kedushin. That's Beseder Gomor. The Gemara's question from Truma was the diuk is that Lu Yitzhar had been B'Torah he'd be kosher l'shlichus. But we see from Truma that a guy is not kosher l'shlichus. Right. It's a different ballgame entirely.
From the way the Gemara sets up, the Gemara still had the Lu Yitzhar that it was a problem after me. Would be kosher if it's B'Torah. You don't even need that. But Truma, you don't need to be B'Torah.
I'm
not sure
the
way the Gemara asked the question that is the concept of
the Torah. No, the Gemara is just asking, even though you're Tzir. The Gemara is just called, it doesn't bother me. The Gemara is just saying, regardless. You know, the fact that it's too strong of a question is not a problem. Okay, the second thing we discussed was the idea of Avodim, right? The Gemara is a fascinating Shaka Vatari here as to there is this Atem Gam Atem, right? That's Mafkiya Goyim from Shlichos. You know, and exactly, to what are the exact details we didn't get into, but clearly, meaning a guy can't be mashlich. That's pretty pashut. But, the Gemara Safek is what about Evan? The Hagin is just like a guy who's mufkar from shlichus, because he's not a tem. So to an Evan is mufkar from shlichus, he's not a tem. The Maskana is, no, a guy is mufkar, but an Evan is included. Why? The Hagin is the Yisrael. A guy's not Yisrael, an Evan's not Yisrael. The Maskana is, no, all you need is Ben Bris, and a guy's not Ben Bris, but an Evan is Ben Bris. What is the machlokus in the Havmin and the Maskana here? What are the Atem Gam Atem? Seems to have something to do with Kedushas Yisrael, Mitzvos, etc. We point out parenthetically the Ravid excluded Chirishot of a Kavod from Atem Gam Atem, which was just a Das problem, which is funny. That doesn't seem to be within the Shaka Vatari here, unless you want to say something a little creative, that really the Ravid meant Chirishot of a Kavod are excluded because they're not Chayim and Mitzvos. And then they do fit it with the Gemara here. But that's a little radical, so we'll leave that just as a parenthetical comment. The main chakir we have here was, this is a classic Revaron, which is, what's the difference in the maskana, what does the havmina that passes Eved like a goy, and the maskana that kashers Eved like a Jew, arguing about? So they could always be arguing one of two things. Either they're arguing about how high the standard for shlichus is, or they're arguing about how qualified an Eved is to meet the standard. Right? Either they're arguing about how high you put the bar, or how high the guy can jump. So, one way of understanding is that that everyone knows what an Eved is. An Eved is Miktas Kedushas Yisrael, is a partial Kedushas Yisrael. The Hav is you need to be Yisrael Gomer, you need a full Kedushas Yisrael to be Shlichas. Maskan is no, as long as you have Miktas Kedushas Yisrael, that's good enough. But everyone agrees about an Eved. Or you could say no, everyone agrees about Shlichas. For Shlichus, you need a partial Kedush Yisrael. The Havi is that Eved is nothing, and Eved is a guy who happens to be owned by someone. And the Maskan is that an Eved is partial Kedush Yisrael. So, it's hard, there's no way to know from our Sugya. It's Meduyik in the Gemara, like the first way. They knew what an Eved was, they're arguing about the rules of Shlichus. Right? He pointed that. He said, Pashup Shad in the Gemara is that they knew what an Eved is, they're arguing about the requirements of Shlichus. End of Hanami. Taka, what is the status of a goy? So one way to investigate that is an eved. Sorry. So first, let's just point out before we get back to that, the Rashi. What does Bnei Bris mean actually? So Rashi says two interesting things. First, Rashi says that Rashi puts a pasuk. How do we know about Bnei Bris? He says Mechol Teve Tzachav Yad Shoeg Meinecha. Which is a chiddush, because in terms of Parsha Nut, you could have interpreted Mechol Teve Tzachav Yad Shoeg Meinecha two ways. You could have said it means the lowest social class of Jews, right? From the Russian and the Shvatim, all the way down to the lowest social class, which is Mechol Teve Tzachav Yad Shoeg Meinecha. All Jews are equally in the Bris, you know, even the schleppers. But Rashi is here as Lashitasi on Chumash, That Rashi right there in the beginning of the sermon quotes from Tanchuma that Chol Tivitzach Yachshavimecha refers to Avadim Kananim. He says, just like the Givonim came in the days of Yeshua, and they were made into Avadim Kananim, so too the other Canaanites came in the days of Moshe, just wasn't written in the Chumash, and they were also made into Avadim Kananim, and that's who's being referred to. So Rashi here is L'shitasei on Chumash. Agav, if you put the Rashis together then that Rashi and Chumash says is possibly referring to people who are the same as Gavonim. And the Rashi here says referring to Avadim Kananim, then it turns out the Rashi holds Gavonim have the status of Avadim Kananim, which is a big deal in the Gemara. If I must find Vav and Rishonim, especially the long Tosfos on the Ksuvas Daf Chav Tes, of an Aleph, exactly what the halachic status of Gavonim is. So you can actually, if you put these Rashi together, you know a Shita on the halachic status of Gavonim. But that's a side point, obviously. Back to the essential question of Avadim, we want to know what's the status of Avadim. So one way to investigate the status of Avadim is based on our sugya. Pashup shot in our sugya is that everyone knows the status of Avadim, mixed us through Shisrael, they're arguing about the standard of Shlichus, but you could be nidchak to say no, they're arguing about the status of Avadim. The other way to look at it is in terms of mitzvos, right? Avadim are chayiv in some mitzvos. So you could say that, again, you'll see the mainstream is always coming to a similar place. You could say that Avadim really have no Kedush Yisrael. Why are they chayav in mitzvahs? Because since they're owned by a Jew, therefore they have to play by certain rules. But the mitzvahs really have nothing to do with Kedush Yisrael. Well, you know, Goyim also have mitzvahs. So Taka, they get a few more burdens because of part of their avdus. You know, to not rock the boat in Jewish society. Or you could say they have full Kedush Yisrael. Like women have full Kedush Yisrael, but yet they're part of certain mitzvahs. So to Avadim, at full Jewish Yisrael, they interpret certain mitzvahs for technical reasons. Or you could say, no, they're chayiv in some mitzvahs and not others, because they have partial Jewish Yisrael and not full Jewish Yisrael. So that's still open-minded. That's still open, rather, an open question. The Rav held as a Dover Pashat that even though Avadim are, not just that Avadim happen to be chayiv in mitzvahs similar to women, similar to Eved like an Isha, both part of mitzvahs and Grama. Even the Mukher is law me Isha. It's not, the Mukher seems to be not coincidental. The Mukher seems to be, you know, that really one flows out of the other. But the Rav held very strongly that there's a fundamental difference, even though the drasha, one was learned from the other, between Nashu and Avadim regard mitzvah and grama. He held that women have full Kedush Yisrael and just have a p'tur for mitzvah seizman and grama. But Avadim have only parts of the Kedush Yisrael and are mufka for mitzvah seizman and grama.
Isn't that mufka? Doesn't mean necessarily when you're free that you have to, even if you.
We'll get to that. That's going to be that's on the list. That's exactly right. We're exactly, but just let's take it one step at a time. Therefore, we all know the machlokes rishonim. Let's call it Tosfos versus Rambam. Whether women can make a arayamazeh, sparim reshashanaz, whether women can make a bracha mitzvahs on grama or not. What's the machlokes? The machlokes is that the bali Tosfos Ashkenazim are make two assumptions. Have to say both assumptions. A woman is not mufka, she is a kiyum mitzvah man grama, even though she's not chayiv. If a woman shakes a lulav, she's a kiyum. And B, you can make a bracha on a kiyum even though it wasn't an absolute chiyuv. What do the Sfarim have to hold? What does the Rambam and the Sfarim have to hold? One of two things, right? The opposite of A and B is either not A or not B. Either they could say, I don't know anything that helps brachos. But women are mufka from mitzvah man grama. There's not a kiyum at all. Or they can say, no, I admit a woman has a kiyum mitzvah man grama. I just think you can't make a bracha without a chiyuv because bitzivanu means you have to do it. If you don't have to do it, then it's not shayach to make a bracha. So that is a big hakir in terms of mitzvah man grama. That was all a bit of a tangent here. What's the main point? The main point here is if you assume that women make a bracha mitzvah man grama because they have a kiyum, right? Ashkenaz and Tosas assume both they have a kiyum, and you're allowed to make a bracha on a kiyum. So if you assume that a woman has woman makes a bracha because she has a kiyum, because she has the Kedush Yisrael to have this kiyum mitzvah, she just has an exemption, then the Rav said, Dover Pasha, that even the Bali Tosas made an Eved can't make a bracha mitzvah on bracha. See, his mufki just doesn't have a Kedush Yisrael to be shy for this mitzvah, as far as he's concerned, he's like a goy. Legabe sukkah and lulav. Now, you can't make a bracha on sukkah and lulav. So that is the one shita that women have full kedushas ro, which is not controversial, and that avadim have only partial kedushas ro, which is our chakira. Rav Lichtenstein pointed out there's a mafurish tosfos against the Rav's basic side. The Rav assumed this is double pashat. There's a mafurish tosfos against him. The Gemara says if you, the owner, puts tefillin on his eved, then the eved goes free. And the tosfos assumes the pshat of that Gemara is not that putting tefillin is a maisa shekhar. It's not one of the halachically recognized maisim of shekhar, but that it's an igloy milsa that he was a mishakar him yesterday. Right? He wouldn't have put tefillin on him. It's an under. He wouldn't have put tefillin on him unless he was already mishakar him. So Tosfos says, why? Why wouldn't he put tefillin on his eved unless he was a mishakar him? Maybe Taka, he's a real frum guy, and he wants his eved to do lots of extra things. So he puts tefillin on his avodah. So Tosfos says, don't say. The end Tosfos says, it's just like a social thing. No one would ever let a slave wear tefillin, and that's just not for halachic reasons. Just socially, it's clear that avodah would never wear tefillin in. No one would ever do such a weird thing unless they had freed their eved. And he was supposed to be wearing tefillin. But what does Tosfos say to Hav? Meaning you might think it's because of the bracha. Because no one would make their eved say a bracha levatala. So he must have freed the eved. Tosfos say, no, don't say that shot. Don't say the proof as the Glein Milsa of Shechur is that he wouldn't want his eved to say a bracha levatala. Tosfos says, look, I'm Tosfos. I, all the women, can make a bracha on lulav. So too, an eved can make a bracha on tefillin. So Tosfos explicitly equates avodah with women in terms of tefillin is one mitzvah shem agrava, in terms of bracha mitzvah shem agrava, against what the Rav held as a dover pashut. Now this, however, this could be taken as it's definitely against the Rav's practical nafkamina. Is it against the Rav's fundamental? Is it against the Rav's fundamental yisod? It doesn't have to be. You could say this is against the Rav's fundamental yisod, and this shows there's a fundamental equation between Isha and Eved. Or you could say, no, there's still a difference between Isha and Eved in terms of an Isha having full Kedush Yisrael and an Eved having partial Kedush Yisrael. It's just that even in partial Kedush Yisrael, you could have a Kiyum Mitzvah Seishas Man Grama, just be Mechadish that. So you have to say for this Tosfos, either he disagrees with the Rav totally and says, an Eved has full Kedush Yisrael, and that's why he can make a bracha on tefillin. Or he has to be mechadish that I'm moda b'ikaron that an eved is partial kedushas yisrael. Then lechor he has to be mechadish a big chiddush that even though you only have partial kedushas yisrael, you're still allowed to make bracha on tefillin, which is a big chiddush. Now the next thing is what David pointed out. What about the fact that when an eved when you're meshacher an eved has a tovel, right? So the The pashup shot is, what does that prove? He has to total before he becomes an Eved, he has to total after you free him. So what does that prove? That proves that an Eved is a mixed Kedush Yisrael. He totals when he becomes an Eved to get the half Kedusha, and he totals when you reshachar him to get the rest of the Kedusha. That seems to be the halacha of the Rambam, for the Rambam says explicitly in Yisuri Bia Perik Yud Gimel Halachi and Aleph, that becoming an Eved is mixed Gerus. Says straight out, it's half Gerus. And the other half is when you're Meshachar him, that he doesn't finish the sentence that way, but it's pretty clear. And the Rambam is very clear. He doesn't just say he's chayv in mixas mitzvos. He says literally he's mixas geiros. I think his lashon elsewhere is a little earlier, maybe the previous parak or something. I forget. Yeah, I think the previous parak was that yotzal miklal akum leklal yisrael loba. Right? He's in between status. That therefore it makes sense that the Rambam says. What happens? I mean, the Rambam actually does continue. He says, in the next halacha, Yud Gimel, Perek Yud Gimel, Halachi Beis, what happens when you're Meshachar your Eved? He has a tovel again during the day, meaning a halachli valid tefillah, k'day shebo tidomer geruso, to finish the gerus. So the Rambam is pretty clear. The question is, does anyone argue? So the Rosh, Kedush and Samach Beis, argues and says in Shufurash that the idea that he has a tovel when you're meshachar is only a din derabanan. Me, the Oraisi doesn't have a tovel when you're meshachar him. So that's machlokes. The Rambam and Rosh, does he need it? Forget about the derabanan level. On the Oraisa level, does he need a tevila shnia? That's what they call in yeshivas, the tevila shnia. Does he need a tevila shnia when he's meshachar or not? What are they arguing about? So again, they could be arguing about this. You could analyze them in the same two ways. Could be they both agree that an eved is mixas kedush yisrael. They just argue to finish a Geirus? Does finishing a Geirus need Tevilah, or does finishing a Geirus not need Tevilah? That could be. They both agree it's the status of Havod and Kanan. They just argue what actions you need in order to finish an already started Geirus.
Or no. Or they're arguing, no, everyone agrees that to finish a Geirus, to do any part of any Geirus, you need Tevilah. They're arguing about the status of an Eved. The Rambam holds an Eved is only Mitzas Geirus.
Well, the Rush would fit in with the Tosus and the Memam and Aleph here, saying, no, an Eved is full Kedush Yisrael. He had a Pturah from certain Mitzvahs for various technical reasons. But he has, and he obviously has a lot of Dini Mominus handicaps.
But he's full Kedush Yisrael, and that's why he doesn't need a Tevilah. So you can analyze this either way. The Ramach, who's in the small print all the way in the edge of the Frankel Rambam, who wrote Hasagas on the Rambam, actually admitted that he needed this Tefillah Shnia, but thought that it wasn't called a Geirus. The Ramach seemed to think, again, it's funny, he didn't actually take it to any practical ramifications like the Rush, but he argued on the Rambam's formulation, explanation, he thought it was not a Geirus when he was in Shukra. He had all the Geirus he needs, and he's a Kedush Yisrael Gomer, and the Shukra is just, you know, removing some technical handicaps of Abdus. Fitting in fine with the easy, you know, the easy way to interpret, the straightforward way, rather, to interpret Tosin Daf Mem of Aleph. Okay, so that's what we discussed as Hakir in terms of the status of Evan, Nafkamina 1 for how to understand Shakim Tari or Sugya, Nafkamina 2 for how to understand the status Klapi Mitzvah Se Shazman Shehazman Grama, and Nafkamina 3 for understanding the need or lack of need for Tefillah Shnia after he becomes Meshachar. Okay, that was the second thing we discussed. The third thing we discussed is Truma. So we started off with a discussion of, we never really got into this issue. This is a very, very big issue, and there were recourse on it, but we only mentioned it briefly in the end. Shlichus and Truma. From our sugya, it seems pretty clear that when you're talking about Truma, if you want to take Truma off someone else's property, then certainly if you want it in the classic sense, right? I want to take your produce as Truma for your produce. Right? I'm totally getting involved in your business. That's shlucha shlavim gamoso. That's regular shlichus of kol tarkula. Right? That's what it sounds like in our sugya, because they're being medayik the laws of shlichus from there. And even more so, from the beginning, second parak of Kiddushin, Kiddushin Achim Aleph, they say, where did we get the whole idea of shlichus from in the first place? Forget about all the details of what kind of God was. Where did we get the whole concept of shlichus? Oh, this idea of truma of tem gam atem. What's this is a very confusing sugya, is that, you know, it seems like if there's anything which is classic, regular, mainstream model of shlichus, it's truma. That's central in all the basic sugyas. Yet there are many indications all over Shas that you actually don't need shlichus for truma. And truma has nothing to do with shlichus. All we need is that you let me take truma. All I need is some sort of rishus, and then I can take truma from your produce, which is a mafur sheet to the Ramban that we had on the cover sheet later on, Gittin. Who says that you don't actually... What? No, he didn't. He just briefly started and then never actually discussed it. But the Rambam was on the Makor sheet last week. And it's a big sugya, I mean, all over Shas, funny Mishnayos and Trumos, you know, which say if I appoint your shlich to take Truma and I cancel, I'm a bathel your shlichos, so you can still do it, and all kinds of other funny things. So anyway, that's a big sugya. It's a big, it's a mystifying sugya. So it's a shame that we didn't get into it more, because it's one of these very mystifying sugyas, because, like, just common sense, like, it says black and white all over Shas that this is regular shlichus. And yet there are rayas and rishonim all over Shas that it's not. And it's just, it's one of these funny things where, like, it's something which is so obvious common sense, yet you actually have to deny it. And, I don't know, sorry for you. Okay, bye, Jim.
You don't deal with that question, I'm just giving you a rice and a rye. Doesn't that tell us this in the second fact, those additions?
I didn't think so. It could be I don't remember, but I don't remember if people really.
No.
I don't think so. I mean, it's a list else. Anyway, I don't remember finding like really good explanations for everything. Okay, the other thing we discussed was, what about a guy? Right? One of the issues that comes up here is truma of a guy. So basically, according to the Chachamim, right, the Chachamim say, truma of a guy is truma gemura l'chol inyan. Right? Chomesh and dimua and has all the dinim of truma. Ah, so why can't a guy torrent for a Jew? The answer is, he's mufka from shlichas, which is exactly the point in our Gemara. There's a kol tor kolut rule that a guy is mufka from shlichas, which is exactly the point that our Gemara is discussing. The interesting part is the machlokes of Chachamim Rabbi Shimon. Because Rabbi Shimon says, no, truma of a guy is potter from chomesh. If you eat truma of a guy, you're potter from chomesh. And truma of a guy is not medamas if it gets mixed in with your chulin. He says the truma of a guy has a lower status. What's the basis of the machlokes of Shimon and Chacham? So Rashi and Kiddushin sounds like it's a, and Rashi here sort of hints it that way, although it's not really. That Rashi and Kiddushin wouldn't really know he took this approach. But Rashi and Kiddushin on the base says the machlokes of Shimon and Chacham is not really about the Maisa HaFrasha of a guy. The machlokes of Shimon and Chacham is really, it's really a technicality, it's really a side point. It's about the chetza of tevel of a guy. Chachamim hold that a guy's produce is not tevel, and therefore, obviously, can't have truma on deraisa level. Sorry, Chachamim hold that a guy's produce is tevel, therefore, the guy's torah is truma deraisa. And Rav Shimon holds that a guy's produce is not tevel deraisa. Therefore, if it takes off truma, it's not truma deraisa. So basically, the Chum holds Truma Daraisa, or Shimon holds not Truma Daraisa, but not because they're arguing about the Maisa of Hafrosha's Goy, but because they're arguing about the Cheftza of Tevel of a Goy, or rather of Tvu of a Goy, is it Tevel or not? Rashi here mentions the fact of Kinya Biad, Akka Lafkia, Mide Truma, Mide Maisra, Sneresh. Rashi Kedusha mentions the idea of Meiruach Goy Poter, which may or may not be saying the same thing in different words. That's Rashi's approach. All the Rishonim reject it. Certainly from our sugya, it doesn't sound that way. And our sugya doesn't sound that way. Our sugya looks like we're talking about his power to do the action. Not about what chefza he's starting with. What chefza he's starting with is a total side point. What does that have to do with our sugya, whether you make him a shliach? Our sugya sounds like we're talking about his power to do the action. And likewise, the Pashim shot of the Mishnah in Truma is coming out. Truma of a guy, it's coming out his power to do the action of Truma. So what's the real machlokas? What's the machlokas between Rishim and Chachamim? The machlokas between Rishim and Chachamim is Chacham hold that the guy can do a Maisa HaFrasha and make Truma, and the Rav Shimon holds that he can't do at least a full, or he can't do a Maisa HaFrasha and he can't make Truma. This machlokas between Rashi and all the other Rishonim is really just a discussion of Rishami there. The Mishnah at the end of the third paragraph of Trumas. The Rishami, the very last two lines, in three lines or whatever, in the third paragraph of Trumas. The Havmin is like Rashi. They're arguing about just whether you're starting with a Chetz of Tevel or not. And the Gemara says, no, that's not all the Mishnah meant. The Mishnah meant you start with the same Chetz. Even if he starts with something which is Vaday Tevel. Chachamim hold he can do a Hafrasha, which will make Truma. And Rishonim holds he can't do a Hafrasha. So that's kind of the Rishonim. He's like Rov Rishonim, like simple shot in the Mishnah, simple shot in our Sugya. That they're arguing about the Maisa HaFrosh of a Goy, not about the Chefza of whether Tvu of a Goy is Tevel or not. And then the question becomes, what is the status of Truma that a Goy was Mafrish? So here we have three possibilities. What are the three possibilities? The Mishnah only says two. One possibility is the Chachamim. It's regular Truma, just like my Truma and your Truma. The other possibility is, on the other radical side of the spectrum, is that Rav Shimon holds it's not truma at all midoraisa. That's when he says, ein lo chomesh, ein lo midamas, that's code word for it's not truma midoraisa. It's just truma as a gzeira drabanan. Or you could say an in-between possibility, which seems to be what the Yerushalmi there says, that no, either, that the Yerushalmi also has this discussion, and the Maskana Yerushalmi seems to be that even Rav Shimon admits it's truma midoraisa. So really, both Acham and Rav Shimon admits truma midoraisa, just to Acham hold it's Truma Daraisa on the fullest level of Truma. And Rav Shimon holds it's Truma Daraisa, but on a lower level than Truma of a Jew. Mehechi Tasi, this idea. So Yishalim points out in the first Mishnah in Zvachim that Kadshe Akum are Kadshe Midaraisa. So Mefurish Pasuk in the Jewish way. It's Mefurish Pasuk, Ish Ish.
that a Jew and a Goy can both make Kachin Doraisa, and that a Goy's Karbanos are Karbanos Midoraisa, we're Makrav them Midoraisa. But yet, Patra Lame Shum Pigal Noser and Tame and Shute Chutz. Right? There's no Chi of Kares for Pigal Noser and Tame and Shute Chutz of Kachin Akram. I think there's no Me'il on Kachin Akram either, although that's not the first name of Mishalm. They don't bring that up. So what do we see? That it, maybe it is Kachin Doraisa, just on a lower level, and doesn't have the special Kedusha of these Chiyuvim. So too, Kachin Trumas Akum, according to Rav Shimon, would be Truma Doraisa, but on a lower level. So there are three ways you can understand Trumas Akum. Either like the Chamim, full Truma, like Rav Shimon interpret as only Truma Darabana, or like Rav Shimon and the Yushalmi, interpret as Truma Doraisa, but on a lower level. Now the interesting question is, if it is, let's say, Truma, but on Truma, if it's Truma Daraisa, like a Chamim, so there's nothing to talk about. It's like, anyone with like a Jew's Truma. If it's only Drabana, there's also not much to talk about. But if it's Truma Daraisa on a lower level, then how do we see this lower level? So the Mishnah expresses it in two ways. Seemingly. There's no Chomesh, and there's no Dimoa, right? Those two things is because it doesn't have the full Kedushas Truma, the highest level of Kedushas Truma. However, it actually doesn't say that. All it says is, Midamas in your Chayiv Chomesh and Rav Shimon Poter. Poter is a Lashon of Chomesh. Chomesh is the Chiyuv, which you mean Poter. So is he only Poter Chomesh, but he's Modin Dimua? Or is he also Poter from Dimua, if we just use the word Poter in a looser sense? So it's actually a discussion straight there in the Yerushalmi, having us go in the Yerushalmi. In the end, they think that he's Poter from Chomesh and Poter from Dimua, using the word Poter loosely to be Poter from Dimua also. But at first, the first thing in the Yerushalmi there is that, no, he's Poter from Chomesh, but he's Modeh about Dimua. Why should that be? Why should there be a difference between Chomesh and Dimua? So the answer is Pashut. There's a fundamental difference between Chomesh and Dimua. Chomesh is a Chiyuv created by this Truma. His Truma doesn't have the full level of Kedusha to create this Chiyuv Chomesh. Dimua is not a new chalos created by the Truma. Dimua is just that it's not batel, right? Some things are batel berov. Truma is not batel berov, right? It's up to 100. So that's not a new chalos you need, a new power of Kedusha to do. It's just not passive that it happens to not be batel. So that applies even to low-level Trumas Nachri that it's not batel. So that would be a nice explanation. He points it out, this word up as a tangent. Side issue, which is that really true? That Dimua, is it really true that Dimua is just that it's not bottled, it's just passive and not really an active chiyuv, and not really a chiddush of a koach? So the Rav was not convinced of this in the Rambam, because the Mishnah Chala says, I forget where it is, I think two places, Perek Aleph Mishnah Dalid and Perek something else a little later in greater length. Okay? Mishnah Chala says in two places that Meduma is Pater from Chala. So if I have Meduma, Tarobas, Chulin, and Truma, that's Pater from Chala. So why is it Pater from Chala? So the many Rishonim assume, based on the more Nidim and Zayinim and Aleph, that it's only Pater from Chala because Midurabonin, you can't eat Meduma. Or Midurabonin, Meduma has some sort of status, rather. And Chala is not as Edurabonin, so Chala is not as Edurabonin, the Rabonin Pater Dimur from Chala. But Midoraisa Dimur is not Pater from Chala. Lu Yitzirio Bizof, and Chala Doraisa. Midoraisa Dimur is not Pater from Chala. Why? Because most of it's Chulin. Everyone agrees, don't get me wrong. Everyone agrees that if I have just the shear of Chala, it's Dimua, and some of the, actually, it's not true. Take it back. Okay. Mita Oraisa Dimua is not Patrum Chala. It's only Midrabbana, because Chala is Rabbana. Midrabbana Dimua is Patrum Chala. But the Rambam says not that way. Right? That's the Rosh Mishnah right there in Aleph Dal Mechala, and the Tosis in Nidrafim Zayin. The Rambam just says, Meduma is Patrum Chala. He's not Mechala, Kinder Oraisa and Rabbana. The Rambam seems to think that fundamentally Meduma is Patrum Chala. But why would Meduma be Pater from Chala? Part of it's Truma, but the rest of it's Chulin. So what did the Rav Medayik from the Rambam? For all the other Rishonim, Meduma is only Pater Rabbanan from Chala, so you can't be Medayik anything. For the Rambam, Meduma is Pater Daraisa from Chala. But why would Meduma be Pater from Chala? Some of it's Chulin. So what it must be for the Rambam, that no, this special Zera, it's special Din of Dimua,
is that it all turns into truma. So if it all turns into truma, now obviously you have to modify that a little, because but to say in a certain respect it all has this chalos, maybe I shouldn't say it all turns into truma, but it all has a chalos meduma. There's a real midaraisa chalos meduma which is created on this. So the Rav said for the Rambam, Dimur is not just a passive, oh, that it's not bottled. Dimur really is a koach, is a kedusha. This has the kedusha to create a chalos dimur. So for the Rambam, for sure, the Rav thought we put a flood in this back in, you wouldn't have a havim, you'd call between chomesh and dimur. Wait, havim, you know. But for the Rambam, for sure, you wouldn't have a havim between chomesh and dimur, because dimur is also a new chalos that needs a koach of kedusha to accomplish. But if you assume not like the Rambam, then you could understand the Rishalmi's chiluk in the Havmin or one day between Chomesh and Dimua, because Dimua is just passive and therefore it doesn't need a high level of Kedusha Shruma, while Chomesh is really a new Kriya created by Kedusha Shruma. Okay, the next issue we discussed was this, we went back a little to fill in from Amud Aleph, was a Summa, the Kashrus of a blind person for Edus. Right, that comes up here. It's mostly a discussion of a basket of kuf, chaf, ches, amen, aleph, going on to the very top of the vase. The first, I forget their name, the first few amaram in that sugi assume that a summa is really kushly. He usually has a technical problem, because he can't actually see what he's talking about. But lu yitzur, you find something which he doesn't really need to see, and he could really know for various ways, then he's fine. So the havmina is that really, he's kushly, he just has a technical problem. The maskana there seems to be tiyufta, the kulhu, tiyufta, that no, he's just a fundamental haloshem gavra puzzle, and that seems to be the way we pass it. So, what's the nature of the psul summa? If it would just be a practical problem in most cases, then you would have no room for chakiras. But now that we say no, it's a real fundamental psul. So what's the nature of the psul summa from truma? So we thought maybe you could have the same chakira about something even, sorry, from Edus. That same chakira, that's something more fundamental. We all know the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. A blind person is pater from mitzvos, right? There's actually one of the Rishonim was choshi for that sheet, right? I think we're in Yerucham, or Rikiv Eger, and Falpel, a few places that all kinds of funny, clever enough gaminas that would come out of that. Rabbi Yehuda says a blind person is pater from mitzvos. That's the famous Suda and Zuviosa and all kinds of philosophy comes out of those Gemaras. But why would he pater Summa from mitzvos? So you could understand it in two ways. Either it's a kula, it's a concession to human weakness. You know, why is a chiger a puzzle from Re'iyah? Because it's too hard. So why is Summa pater from mitzvos? It's very hard if you're blind. You know, they can use to have all these accommodations for people with disabilities. So it's very hard to do the mitzvos. Or it could be no. That he's not a bardas, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Because why is he not a bardas? Does being blind make you stupid? No, because das is not just defined as your raw intelligence of the synapses in your brain. Intelligence means your ability to interact with the surroundings. A chair is not a bardas because he can't interact with his surroundings, with his environment. And the sumo also can't interact with his environment because he can't see what he's doing. So, in Rabbi Yehuda, we're not sure if he patches blind people from mitzvos as a concession, and as a kula, because it's too hard, or because he considers them to not be a bardas. If we bring that back to Edus, we can ask the same chakira. Is a summa puzzle Edus? Because practically, it's very hard for a summa to be made, and therefore there's a general rule to exclude him, because it's so difficult for him to get the Edus down, and v'chule. Or, you know, so even in a weird, rare case where we can somehow work it out, it's just a general rule. Or no, it's because we know that Summa is Bardas, we pass him Summa's Chayiv in mitzvos, but he's still a mitzvah lab Bardas. He doesn't have full Das, he has a lower level of Das, and for Edus, you need a higher level of Das than for mitzvos. That's all Chakir in and of itself, if you're looking, they didn't discuss. Does Edus need a higher level of Das for mitzvos? Some people want to be Dayak from, I think, from Lashon Rama, if I recall correctly. I once saw that if you look in mitzvos and in Edus, then when it comes to Shote, you have a higher standard by Edus than by mitzvos, because, you know, Edus requires a high level of Das. Because of the responsibility involved therein. Well, mitzvahs only requires a regular level of das. So it could be, if you have this chakira, why is a summa pater from mitzvah, from egos? Is it because he's a mitzvahs lav bar das? Or is it just a practical rule, which is made into a general rule, is a good way to practically take care of the issue? The last thing we discussed, or
and maybe not discussed, but mentioned, introduced, was the very, very, very funny Rambam. Now, what about a Russia for a Shleich L'Holacha? That's not possible anywhere in our Sibya. Right, if we were left to our druthers, we would say, what do you mean? Certain gavras are guy, if they should have happened, maybe, v'chuli. But what does a Russia have to do with being a Shleich? Of course a Russia can be Shleich for Holacha to get. But the Rambam had this tremendous, tremendous chiddush that a Sule Edus Midoraisa, Sule is Garbani Satanach, but Sule Edus Mishamavera Midoraisa, you know, real Rishayim, are puzzle for Havas Haget. That's a very funny thing. Agav, we mentioned parenthetically the most famous Ketura in the world. What's the nature of the Psul Rashal Edus? Is the Psul Rashal Edus a Chash Sheker? Anyone who's a Russia, we think, will lie in the witness stand. Or is it just Upsol Gavra? No, this Gavra has certain disabilities attached to him because of the Chaloshem Russia. He loses certain privileges or a certain fraternity. And therefore, he's Pasul Edus. The Rambam, Gerishon Perek Vav Halacha Zayin. Very funny Rambam. One of the funniest Rambams of his Gerishon. The nafgamina might be okay. So the nafgamina might be the discussion of the Gemara and Daf Kaf Hey. What about for Edus Isha, meaning Mises Baal, right? Aguna. There we don't seem to be knocked on the Gavra, but we still wouldn't want liars, right? Still women who are chashish liar, not Neman, the five women. So over there the Gemara has a whole discussion and might be totally in this Chakira if a Russia is. We assume is a liar, then okay, there's a limit. We can't have no liars. But if it's just a Psul Gavra, then we accept all the other Psul Gavras. So why shouldn't we accept the Russia? In the end, the Gemara makes a chiluk there between Gazlan D'Oraisa and Gazlan D'Rabbanan, which the Rambam then applies to Gerushin in some tremendous Kiddush, which has no precedent in Shas. Agav, you can point out that there are actually many Rishonim who apply this to the Edus Isha Nafkamina. One might be Mechavt, you know, Russia D'Chamas. And a Russia is a lot of chamas. I mean, that's obviously intuitive. A Russia who steals might be a shasheker. A Russia who does benon l'chaviru might be a shasheker. While a Russia benon l'makom might only be a sol gavra. And there actually are Rishonim, or we're listening to quote them, who say, therefore, for Edus Isha, it's only a Gazlan d'oraisa's puzzle, but a Mumar Ochel Nevelos d'oraisa is a Mechal Shabbos d'oraisa might be kosher. Anyway, getting back to our issue, the Rambam here said three strange things. What are the three strange things? First of all, he lifted from Yeron's Daf Kof Hei from Edus Isha, the chiluk between Gazan D'Oraisa and Gazan D'Rabbanan. He said a Psul Aver D'Oraisa can't be a Shleich and Gittin, but a Psul Aver D'Rabbanan can. That's why he took it from here and brought it to there and brought it to here, we don't know. Then the two really strange things he said was, what's the din, Taka, if a Psul Aver D'Oraisa, Mamash Rasha D'Oraisa, brings the get? So he said it depends. If he brings the get and you can be Mekayim to get the Chosmav, then the get is Pasul Midrabanan. But if he brings the get and you can't be Mekayim the get, there's no Kiyum get, there's no Kiyum Shtaros, then it's Batul Midoraisa. So both of those are very, very strange. First of all, it's strange why he thought there's a difference between Pasul Midoraisa and Pasul Midrabanan in our Sugya. I understand if you say possible to Raisa, possible to get to Raisa, possible to Rabbanan, possible to get to Rabbanan, that makes sense. But that's not what he says. He says whether he gets bottled to Raisa or not depends on whether there's Kiyum. He just says, Psul to Rabbanan is kosher l'chachila, is perfectly fine. Psul to Raisa is not fine. Why? Since when do we pass Psul to Rabbanan l'chachila? Edis Isha Mishal Aguna. How does he know there's also a similar Aguna issue? We have no idea. But the two really weird things are against all the rules of Shtaros. Both of his psakim are weird in terms of Kiyum again. The first psak, that if the get is Mekoyim B'chosmav, it's still possible to Rabbanan, is a Tamiya Sheva Tamiyos. What do you mean? She's holding a get, which is Mekoyim. She's holding a get, and we have absolute 100% proof that it's an authentic get with real signatures. The fact that the guy who brought her was a Russia, why should that make any problem? What if she has a get Mekoyim? We have no spankles. There's no need for Edus here. That's the point. She has a get Mekoyim. We don't need the Shliach to be made. She's a get Mekoyim, so who cares if he's possible Edus? And the second shot is also weird. Because then it says, if we have no Kiyum get, then we're only relying on the Shliach to tell us it's an authentic get, then it's possible Midoraisa, or Batal is the right word, Midoraisa. That also makes no sense, because we all know Midoraisa, Eid Machsun al Stak Mishnech, we do some Vezendam, Midoraisa, every star is kosher, even without Kiyum. So why is the pasul midaraisa if it was brought by Russia? We never ended up answering any of these questions. Strange Rambam. But, you know, the Briskers actually, I think, love this Rambam. Because, you know, Reb Chaim's whole idea that, yes, a get has all these, sorry, shtar, has all these special kashruses, and Kesh Nechrit is a vezin, and shtar kol behashanas, etc. But in Reb Chaim's perspective, that's only because of the tfisas balashtar, and you put that together with what Rav mentioned earlier. The shlich lahalach is the balashtar. Apparently, what's underlying the Rambam here, which we're listening didn't have time to discuss, is that, no, a shtar, where all the powers we think that a shtar has to be, have an assumption of kashrus are not inherent to the paper. They come from the tfisas bal shtar. Assumption one. Add to that assumption two, the shlich is not just a shlich. The shlich becomes a bal shtar. Shlich lo halacha becomes a bal shtar. Then now, the Rambam starts to make a little more sense. If all the normals of shtar is only flow from the tfisas bal shtar, and here the bal shtar has a problem with tfisa because he's pasul eidos, so there's some chisarin in the tfis bal shtar, then there's some chisarin in the shtar's ability to be self-justifying, self-supporting. And from there, you eventually can work out the details and explain the Rambam. Lechachila, I don't know if any of us would have come to this Rambam. But from there, you can sort of get this idea that if it has no kiyum, then it's mamash nothing midoraisa. It's a likuy in the tfis bal shtar. It's not made that the signature of kashrin. That's why it's batal midoraisa. And even if it has kiyum, it's still psul drabanan, either as exer bi'alma, or that even after kiyum, who says everything in the shtar is kosher, maybe drabanan rechoshish for all kinds of psulim that could be, and it's only tfis bal shtar that eliminates that chashash. So that's a funny Rambam. You have to put together all these briskatoros and shtaros, and then you start to get to the hesber of this funny Rambam. Still funny, but understandable. Okay, that's what we did last night.
Question.